This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In many parts of the country, girls from middle school on up adopt the styles and behavior of celebrity bad girls like Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan. In response, some girls and young women are in rebellion. They favor chastity over promiscuity, long sleeves over miniskirts, and curfews over late-night parties. The modesty movement developed on websites and blogs, and particularly around the work of writer Wendy Shallot. She wrote A Return to Modesty 8 years ago and describes this movement in a new book, Girls Gone Mild. We'll talk with her about it and with Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson. Later in the program, the military thinker blamed for the slaughter of the First World War and praised as the intellectual father of the modern American army, Karl von Clausewitz. But first, the modesty movement. Do you feel we're living in a culture of excess? If so, have you taken up arms for or against the modesty movement? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We begin with Amy Dickinson, who writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. Joins us every other week. Today, she's here with us in Studio 3A. Nice to have you here in Washington. Good to see you.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be here.
Now, I know you're in town because you just dropped your daughter off at college. This is something you have firsthand experience with. From what you've seen, is the dominant culture among teenage girls based on Britney?
Well, my daughter, who is 18 years old, actually grew up with Britney. I mean, I remember when, what was that first video she had? She was dressed as like a schoolgirl marching down the hallway, snapping her fingers. And, you know, every little girl wanted to be like that. But was it because she looked sexy? I always thought it was because she seemed powerful and in charge. And I felt like as a mother, there were ways to appropriate the good things about Britney, who was young and talented and in charge and you know, dancing and singing. Like there were things to like about that without necessarily loving the clothes. And of course, but look, she's a train wreck. I mean, so the modesty movement, I mean, a lot of these young girls my daughter's age are seeing sort of the trajectory of what happened to Britney, for instance, in the 10 years that my daughter's been following her career. Look where she is now.
Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of questions from readers about this set of issues?
Well, you know, I actually just received, I have received two letters that really, really speak to this, both from girls, both on the same topic. Both of these girls said that they felt pressure at school from other girls to wear a thong. One girl said that she had been bullied and really kind of beat up by some girls who were making fun of the fact that she didn't wear a thong. And she was, you know, the age old, there you are in the locker room after gym class.
Mm-hmm.
This other girl felt that she was 14. I just received this letter. She really wants to get a thong, but her mother won't let her.
Hmm.
And so, how can she convince her mom that this is a good idea?
Good luck.
But you know, the problem is, Neil, some moms think this is great.
Yeah.
This is where I'm sure Wendy will agree. This is where it starts with a lot of these mothers who have forgotten like how to be middle-aged and they are I think sometimes it's the 40-year-old women who are really taking the worst possible messages from this youth culture, and they're imposing it on their daughters.
So it's not just the 15-year-olds who are indulging in age-inappropriate dress, but
no, I think they're looking at their mothers, and they're like, oh, Mom, you look hot. I want to be like that, too, you know?
You mentioned Wendy. Joining us now is Wendy Shallot. She's the author most recently of Girls Gone Mild. She's with us today by phone from Toronto in Canada, where she happens to be. Wendy Shallot, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And this discussion has really taken off over the past 8 years since you wrote your first book.
Well, I was just going to say, it's so nice to listen to Amy and to hear a mother who's so articulate and sensitive to these topics and to these generational differences, because I've gotten so many letters from young women saying that their own mothers are the ones pressuring them. And they'll ask them if they're still a virgin in college, they'll ask them, you know, if they're maybe a lesbian, or they'll tell them that one high school girl just wrote to me, her mom asked her if she was Victorian because she didn't want to discuss sex at the dinner table. And that's really what got me interested in writing the second book, because I noticed there's these generational differences, but, you know, it's just anecdotal, so I decided to do some research, and it turns out, as Amy alluded to, that many parents today, I mean, this has been quantified, teen parents are more likely to view virginity of their children as embarrassing, twice as likely as the teenagers themselves. And, you know, there's this concept, you know, since the 60s that to be liberated about sexuality, you have to be sort of public and you have to be casual about that. And I think a lot of young women are rejecting that, and they want really a new notion of empowerment. You know, you can be liberated without being publicly sexual. And they're taking a stand, and I think that's great.
My children are a bit older than Amy's. I just find that hard to believe, that parents want to encourage their kids to engage in what amounts to promiscuous sex earlier and earlier.
Well, they're very well-intentioned. I mean, they don't mean ill. They just sort of want their daughters to fit in. Jane Magazine had this feature on a girl who was a little bit older. She was 29, and she was still a virgin, and she said her own father was actually making her feel uncomfortable about it, and her whole family was sort of involved in her losing her virginity, to the point where her father voted on candidates for her deflowering. You know, this is in Jane Magazine, in this blog, and there's this concept of people of a certain age. It's not that they mean bad or anything, but they just, you know, they want a certain amount of experience is good. What I'm hearing from a lot of girls is their mothers will say things like, try on the shoes before you buy them, you know, just like get to know the territory. But they don't understand that the girls that are involved in the hookup scene, you know, they didn't really have this hookup scene when they were young. And a lot of them are just hooking up, studies have shown, not because they find the hookup scene very pleasurable, but just because everyone else is.
That's right. Social pressure. And Amy Dickinson, that social pressure, that's, you know, depending on what the social pressure exists, I think, for kids whenever they grow up. It's to do different things, though.
Right. And, you know, I just think it's interesting that those of us, you know, parents, we start with our children. If we're thoughtful, we start with them when they're very, very young, even around toilet training age, teaching them about privacy. Like, it's all about, you know, these are kids who grew up with good touch, bad touch. And yet, once they reach a certain age, oh, it's not bad touch anymore. Now it's like something you're supposed to want. So I think that we sent them very, very confusing signals. But I do feel that in a thoughtful home, a parent teaches a child about, it's like a form of literacy. It's like, look at this television show. Like, what's the difference between Hannah Montana and Britney Spears? Mm-hmm. And how do you think Hannah Montana is successful? Or how is Lizzie McGuire successful? Or what do you like about those characters? And what do you like about Britney Spears? And do you think that Paris Hilton is pretty? And if so, what do you like about her? Like, it's a way of informing girls about, like, the influences, the media influences in their life.
Well, let's get some callers involved in the conversation. Our number, again, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Again, our guests are Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson and author Wendy Shallet. Her most recent book is Girls Gone Mild. And let's turn to Matt. Matt's with us in Hayward, California.
Yes, Neil, good morning. Thank you. And thank you for the sensitivity that you show on the air. You're a good example.
Oh, thank you.
I'm grateful for this topic that we hear happening today. I have three young daughters. I'm also a high school teacher in Hayward, California, and so, I mean, I see how these girls dress, and I tell them, frequently I'll say, I wouldn't let my daughter dress like that, I'm really passionate about this, but thongs, you know, girls get embarrassed when some other girl says, I see your thong. I mean, this stuff happens all the time. My main point that I wanted to make, though, this morning was that I resent what the clothing industry is doing to push these girls that way. In the trades, I spent some time in the trades, and there's a dreaded disease called plumber's butt. Describes the person, you know, the guy.
I think we've all got the description.
Yeah, it's clinical. Yeah.
There's a name for these kind of pants called muffin tops. that's
you know what,
you.
Matt, this is so last year. I mean, I love the fact that you're a guy and you're talking about this, but the whole muffin top thing, the low rise jeans, that's like way last year. I mean, Wendy's book
is. Let me talk to you about this year, though. On top of all of this, yesterday, my daughter, who's going to be a middle schooler on Monday morning, was getting her physical, and the doctor, who we like, was pushing this cervical cancer vaccine for sexually active girls.
How old is he? Is she?
She is minutes away from being 12, as I'm constantly.
Okay, but wait a minute. This vaccine is not for sexually active girls. This vaccine is to vaccinate women when they become women my age, for instance, against cervical cancer. And the reason you want a 12-year-old to have it is because they're not sexually active. The vaccine works best when administered to girls before they have ever had any sexual experience at all. And I really take exception to your, I think, unenlightened view of this really important vaccine. This is
I'm happy to be enlightened. Thank you for that. I do appreciate that.
Well,
but there is pressure, and that's all I really wanted to say. And
all right.
It was actually just a case of a girl that was given the vaccine without wanting it and her parents not wanting it. But I don't want to get
The vaccine is another issue we've talked about on other programs.
Yeah, I think the caller has a really legitimate point, which is, you know, the fashion industry. And
modesty and chastity are just not valued, and they're ridiculed, as you've said. And, mm-hmm. and you know, you talked about Britney. We could talk about Madonna, you know, what's that, half a generation earlier, you know, this whole marketing of promiscuity and sexuality, and kids are just getting bombarded with it. And now you're telling us that it's happening at home, too.
Well, who is designing the clothes? If you think about it, who's promoting that these 8-year-old girls should be hot? And who's designing, like, for example, the Brass magazine that's marketed to preteen girls that talks about being hot? It's not the girls themselves. Right, it's the adults, and so I think it's increasingly disturbing. And we see, I'd like to benefit from Amy's wisdom on this, but you know, we see all of these over sexualized products and the string bikinis for toddlers.
We'll have us more of that wisdom when we come back. Amy Dickinson is here, also Wendy Shallet. She's the author of Girls Gone Mild. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cownan in Washington. You wouldn't know it to watch Britney and Paris Bear at all or close to it, but there's a growing modesty movement among girls and young women, and some companies are catching on. Blogs push chaste but chic clothing, even fashion lines with names like Modern and Modest. It's a trend that picked up with Wendy Shallet's book. If you want to hear more about her burden with the Scarlet M, you can read an excerpt of Girls Gone Mild at our website, npr.org/talk. Wendy Shallet is with us, also Amy Dickinson. She writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune and joins us every other Thursday. Do you feel we're living in a culture of excess? Have you taken up arms for or against the modesty movement? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, and you can read what other listeners have to say at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. And Amy Dickinson, why don't we pick up on the point where we left it just before the break?
Right. I think Wendy was saying the phrase ringing in my ears, string bikinis for toddlers or something like that. This is the thing. I just feel like, as parents, you know, we demonstrate to children what we think is not only acceptable and, you know, most acceptable to us and to others, but also we kind of demonstrate to them what we think life should be like. And in my family, I'm not that interested in virginity till marriage. I'm not that interested in chastity, but I am interested in my daughter feeling like she has dominion over her own body, over her own choices. And, you know, I see the modesty thing happening. I'm relieved to cover my arms. Trust me, I'm so relieved. But what I don't like is the idea that adults are telling girls that they're A, good if they wear long sleeve shirts, or B, bad if they wear tank tops without a sweater. I don't like that at all.
Of course.
And Wendy Shallet, a lot of your book is premised on the idea, not that you started any of this, but that girls are starting it themselves.
Well, exactly. You beat me to that point. Well, there's a let's back up for a second. What I was going to ask Amy was just something that I've experienced, in that most of us object to the over-sexualization and these, like, string bikinis for toddlers kind of things and 8-year-old girls being hot. But what I find personally is that the moment, you know, you propose an alternative and you talk about girls who are better role models, everyone starts saying, ho, 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 you know, you're repressed, you're a fascist. And we make such a parody of the girls who choose modesty. And to me, that's a problem, because then girls don't really have choices, because when they sit down to the table's already set for them. The only way to be liberated, you know, according to certain people, according to the experts, is to sort of say, if you've got it, flaunt it. So I think, you know, I'm not advocating modesty. I'm not saying, like, you know, this is the only way and everyone has to do this, but I'm saying the girls are finding themselves. They're finding that this is empowering. Let's appreciate their choices, and they're setting boundaries instead of just making a parody of them.
Right. Well, the way to be, you know, modest in the full sense of the word is to control your own fate. The way to be powerful as a girl, you know, one of the things you've done in your work, Wendy, is you equate these kind of sexy fashions with, like, girl power. And I think that this is something that girls have been very confused by for the last 10 years. And I, like you, I see this changing.
Right.
Because they see that that's not how to be powerful. Pleasing boys, dressing to please boys, and frankly, dressing to please other girls. That's not the way to be powerful. The way to be powerful is to make your own choices based on your own values and your own, you know, how you want to live your own life.
Hmm. Well, the younger feminists I interviewed, for example, the girls who boycotted Abercrombie & Fitch, the Girl Caught girls from Pennsylvania, they were very much interested in the concept of dignity, and they said, you know, their whole objection to the T-shirts, you know, who needs brains when you have these, was that, you know, these messages are offensive and they're not about girl power. So I think the idea that it's about girl power is coming from the adults. It's coming from the older feminists, but the younger feminists, I think, are rejecting that, and they're finding a girl power which is about their individuality and not about their body.
Right, but you...
Great.
Let's get another caller on the line. Okay. let's go to Marie. Marie's with us from California.
Hi. I guess my comment is that I think we're taking the wrong emphasis and focusing so much on the clothing and the media images, and I would rather see that we focus on teaching our girls to be strong and smart and intelligent, and if they value themselves, then they'll make better choices about what they wear and who they interact with and when they have sexual behavior. I mean, I have a 6-year-old daughter. She has no idea who Lindsay or Brittany or any of those people are. She's never seen a Disney princess movie. I don't read People magazine in the house. My 6-year-old daughter wants to be a transplant surgeon. She's learning to be who she is, and it doesn't matter what she wears, whether she covers her arms or not. And I guess I would rather see the focus less on what girls are choosing to wear as how they choose to lead their lives.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think clothing is just the tip of the iceberg, but I think Amy had a really interesting Q&A, which I looked at. A girl was entering college, and she was asked by her future roommate, correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, if she could take her boyfriend with her in their room.
Right. She's like, I hope it's okay, but my boyfriend's going to spend the first couple of weeks of college with me. Now, I get this letter. I'm an advice columnist sending a girl off to college that very same week. And so I responded in my column of, oh, no, I don't think so.
I thought you answered that really, really well.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't think your boyfriend will be spending 2 weeks with us in the room. But, you know, when I looked into that, I saw that this is a very common problem on college campuses, and that, you know, in my own daughter's case, I thought, boy, you know, don't let your future roommate bamboozle you in having an uninvited, unwanted overnight guest.
Well, this is what I think the caller is talking about, having the confidence to set boundaries. There's this whole sexile phenomenon. I mean, this is called being a sexile, being exiled from your own room. And wait a minute, you're paying, or your parents are paying, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, for this education. And people are not allowed to study in their own rooms, and they're made to feel like they're prudish or repressed, and they're put on the defensive. So,
well, Marie's daughter is still some years away from that controversy, but...
No, but I'm saying you need confidence to take a stand.
I understand, but at 6 years old, she's going to be going to school shortly, and these pressures are inevitably... Fashion is fashion. Whether it's one fashion or another fashion, she's going to feel the pressure around her from other girls, correct,
and
Amy?
She's going to have...
The roommate who didn't want to have the boyfriend there would have been raised with enough strength to say, you know what, no, this doesn't work for me, and I have rights as a participant in this college experience to say, no, that's not acceptable for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, this six-year-old in question, she's going to go to first grade or second grade, and she'll come home one day, you can count on it, and she'll say, oh, my friend has a really pretty, like, Hello Kitty, I don't know, dirty girl, whatever, T-shirt that's pink, and it's pretty, and the cat's wearing a crown, and blah, 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 and I want it. And what I like about this mom is that she is teaching media literacy by being very, very thoughtful about what happens in their home. That's how your daughter is going to learn. It's from watching you and what happens in your own home.
Yeah, we talk about what little television we watch, and we talk about what messages they're sending. And yeah, I mean, she does interact with the outside world. She came home from kindergarten one day and said, Mommy, how come you don't wear makeup like the other mommies? And I said, well, because I'm pretty happy with the way I look, and I don't feel that I need to do that. So I didn't say, well, because it's bad and it's evil, you should never do it. But we try to talk about the choices of why people do it and why people don't, so that hopefully when she gets old enough, she'll be able to make educated choices and then be smart enough at some point in her life to say, oh, I used to do that, but now I don't do that anymore because it's not right for me anymore.
Okay, thank you, Marie. And it sounds like your six-year-old has a younger sibling as well. Thanks very much, and good luck
with
them. Bye-bye. Let's talk now with Molly. Molly's calling us from Virginia Beach in Virginia.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I'm just curious, has anyone noted the connection here with evangelical Christianity and even fundamentalist Christianity, from which I come from in my background? It seems to place a really heavy burden on women and girls to take responsibility for the morals and sexual ethics of men based on how we dress. It seems all very familiar to me. Has anyone made this connection yet? And
yes.
Don't we see this as problematic in the identity of women?
Wendy Shallett, go ahead, please.
Yes, I have heard that a lot. I'm personally Jewish, and I interviewed girls, 100 young women from a variety of different backgrounds. I don't think this is about religion. I think this is about a new concept of empowerment. We're seeing a lot of new campus organizations at Princeton, Arizona State, at Harvard. These are secular organizations that are starting because the students want to be empowered to have a choice beyond the hookup scene. I think the reason that there is sometimes an emphasis on the young women is because the culture puts a particular pressure on young women, and I think there's a reaction to that. We don't have the equivalent. Nobody's telling young boys to be hot at age 8. We don't have, you know, the whole people-pleasing thing of your goal is to be a sex object to the young boys.
But, you know, they are. Do you know there's a very alarming increase of eating disorders and body dysmorphia among boys now because they want to look like these Abercrombie models.
Yeah, and it's not the degree, though, that we're seeing, I think, among girls. I call it a reverse double standard. I found in the research and the websites directed towards teens, when boys were saying that they were emotional, the response from the experts was great. If you want to wait, that's great. If a girl was saying that she was emotional, she was told that she was immature, that she was not ready for sex, that she had to be casual about sex. So I think the advice that's given to girls right now is so bad that I think the girls themselves are reacting, and I think that's what it's about. It's about being empowered in a different way. I don't think it's evangelical, but I can understand why you would say that.
Well,
you can actually go online and find surveys, and I get them every now and then because my education came from an evangelical Christian school. So you can take these surveys, and actually they are put up on the web by evangelical Christian organizations. And I think it's slippery. I understand there's not as much pressure on boys to dress a certain way regarding their sexuality, but I still think that the slippery slope is that when we talk to girls only about this, and that seems to be where, I mean, whenever we talk about it, it's about what women are wearing, what girls are wearing. It seems to still place a premium on what they wear in conjunction with sexuality relating to the opposite sex. And I just, as a new mother, I don't want to teach my child that how she dresses is going to have, she's responsible for the effect that it will have on someone else. I mean, then we get to a point where we're, I mean, it may be far-fetched, but I don't think so, where we have rape victims who are, you know, being blamed for what they had on for the behavior of the individual. I realize I'm being extreme, but you have to understand, I've grown up in this tradition, and there are a lot of people in America who have, and women have been particularly beaten down from the time they were toddlers about what they wore because they didn't want to have the wrong impression on the opposite sex.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand why you're saying that, but I think there's a danger in approaching it too politically, because I think when you're talking about practical advice, we need to have a very clear, single, high standard for both girls and boys, and it has to go beyond dress. And I personally advocate a single high standard, that it should be the same. But the problem is, for example, that girls are now taught that they're empowered and they're more independent when they can be casual about sex.
But wait, Wendy.
You know, they're imitating the most adolescent boys. And I think because there's that pressure, there's now a movement to send a more wholesome message. And I don't think it is a political thing. I really don't.
We're talking with Wendy Shallet and Amy Dickinson. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Wendy, you talk a lot about, in your book, you make a lot of references to being ladylike, and you talk about the Girls Gone Wild videos. You know, when I see a Girls Gone Wild videos, I despair for the girls, of course, but it's the boys. You know, like if I was a mother of one of those boys who pops up in one of those videos, I'd be devastated.
I don't feel
like we're doing a very good job, you know, helping our young men, like, claim their own masculinity in ways that they are expected to be gentlemen. And I agree with the previous caller that I think there is a fundamentalist bent to this. And there, I mean, it's obvious that there is, where these websites come from, these modesty websites. But the good news is, coincidentally, I think, you're also on the cusp of the new fashion trend for fall. I'm happy to report that the New York Times today, the fashion section, says, Après rehab, a lovely sobriety. Guess what's in? Full pleated pants, long sleeve shirts, charcoal gray, pinstripes. There we are.
It gets cold in the fall, too, and that's a good thing, too. Molly?
Can I respond to that?
Yes, go ahead.
If we have time. I actually don't put a stress on being ladylike. What I put a stress on in the book is having a single high standard. And I think I say explicitly, just as women shouldn't see themselves as prey, men shouldn't see themselves as predators. So I very much think we have to have a single high standard, and that it goes beyond dress, absolutely. But I think if we're always giving the message that to be empowered, you know, you have to be casual about sex, or you have to present yourself sexually, I think it's very damaging for young women, and we have to stop making fun of the girls who are challenging this message. I think they're the real rebels.
Molly, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking it.
Bye-bye. Let's see, we get one last caller in, and this is Rachel. Rachel's also calling us from Virginia.
Hi. I was just wanting to talk about that, your first caller, about when he said about the style of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking that maybe we should talk to them, the people who do the clothing that is inappropriate, and talk to them and say that, you know, we really don't think that these are really good clothes for girls. And you can do something that is appropriate, but also something that the girls will like. So you also get some good sellers, and also even better sellers, because it's something mothers would like, and sometimes even fathers would like.
Rachel, how old are you?
10.
Sounds like you've got a budding recruit there, Wendy Shallet.
Well, this is, of course, what Ella Gunderson did. I talked to her for the book. She's in Seattle. She was 11 years old at the time. She couldn't find something that didn't cover her stomach. And she was told by the clerk when she was shopping at Nordstrom that, you know, this is the look. So she wrote to Nordstrom, and they were very responsive to her concerns, and it's actually the young women now that are telling their elders that we want other options, and I think it's great.
Rachel, good luck. There are clothing lines out there that, since the start of this, are trying to adapt to interests like yours. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
And keep your voice alive. Amy Dickinson, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson. She writes that column for the Chicago Tribune and joins us every other week here on Talk of the Nation. And Wendy Shallet, her most recent book is Girls Gone Mild. We appreciate your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was really interesting.
Wendy Shallet joined us on the line from Toronto in Canada. Coming up, a new biography of one of the most influential books on military thought, Clausewitz's On War, one of the books that changed the world. If you'd like to talk about that, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.